I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome today Siyama Matuzungiri, who is performing tonight at Sacred Heart Music Center in Duluth, along with Dallas. Hello, Dallas.
Hi there.
And we're delighted to have the two of you here in the studio today. Thanks for coming in. And I just realized I did not put that microphone anywhere near your mouth, which would be helpful. Sorry about that.
Say hi, Siyama.
Hi. Yeah.
Well, I had the chance to see you a couple of years ago when you were in Duluth, and what a delightful show that was.
Oh, okay.
And since then, you've put out a children's album, which is kind of fun.
Yes.
I think that's the first time you've done that, right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some other things as well.
Okay.
But first, will you play? What do you want to play for us first?
Yes, we have one. The first number will be Ngoya. Ngoya is a song from our village style. And then one day I felt I need to make some chords and put those words of the village, singing about the ancestors and benediction. So that will be the first song we're going to play now.
And when you talk about the village, I should mention you're originally from the Congo.
Yes,
you've been in Minnesota for quite some time now.
Yes.
And you've lived around the world, which is pretty amazing how many different places you've been.
Know.
But but it all started in the Congo, right?
Yes, all started in the Congo, yeah.
All right.
Yes,
Yom is
from a western region of DR Congo called Bakongo. And their language there is Kikongo, but also Lingala. But this one is in Kikongo.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. That is Siama Matuzingidi along with Dallas Matuzingidi Johnson here on KUMD, on Live from Studio A. And what was the name of that one again?
Ngoya.
Ngoya.
Ngoya. Mm-hmm. And that is not on the new album, it doesn't look like, but I maybe on a previous one.
We haven't recorded it yet.
Oh, you have?
It's
oh,
a new one.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's always nice when people come and do a new thing.
This is the first time in on radio.
Well, it sounded fantastic. because this is your first time here, Siama, we like to ask the questions about where you come from and those kinds of things. And in watching some interviews with
yes.
you,
yes.
Back in the Congo, I thought it was really interesting that you were you loved the guitar from
yes.
an early age, but it
yes.
was not something that your parents thought you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you discover the guitar, first of all?
So I was born in the seminary because my dad was chef of the priests. So I had two kind of lives, the village life and my dad being a priest. So I have influence of seeing guitars and the trumpets because the priest had school for students who want to go to be priests in Rome.
Okay.
Yeah, so after there, they can go to Rome to finish their schools. So when I reached 12, I was like, I was listening to these radios, nice, beautiful music. I'm like, I want to be one of them, those people who play those things. Then I just decided to go and then talk to a priest because I knew my dad every time I was mentioning, I don't want anybody to be like interested in music. Music is hard. I'm like, really? I mean, they are the happiest people I've ever seen. Why is he saying music is hard? So I just went to a priest, like, can you teach me music? He said, oh yeah, I can teach you music. Maybe piano? I'm like, piano? Then the priest said, yeah, because I want you to be playing in the church. I'm like,
not what you had in mind.
So then he convinced me, and I'm like, okay, I'll try to learn piano. But I felt my hand was too small. What he was doing and what he wanted me to do, my hand can't do that. So I just said, no, twice maybe lesson, and I asked about the guitar. He said, oh, we have guitars. I said, yeah, I know you have guitars. I see them. So can you teach me one style or something? And then he's like, I will give you a guitar. So that helped because my dad won't gonna break that guitar because it was very nice, beautiful guitar for
so because
priest.
It was from the priest, yes. Your dad had to respect it.
Yes, had to respect that.
But if you had come home with your own guitar from somewhere else, he might not have...
yeah, that guitar might be ending in the trash or somewhere.
Well, and then so they thought, oh, you'll play music in the church, but yeah. You had other ideas.
Yes.
And you left home pretty young, I think,
yes,
right?
I left home pretty young. Actually, my parents didn't believe I would be living, really, because I told I want to live and go. I was like 17. I just decided, I'm like, I want to go to the city and be a star. So I got chance to talk to my parents, like, do you mind if I just go to start my life? They're like, you are still a kid. What life are you talking about? I'm like, I want to be a star. Then, but because I was pushy, and my dad and said, you know what, we know you will be back. Just go try what you think, but we know he's going to be back, and I never did.
When you came back, you were maybe with the band.
Yeah, maybe with
performing.
He got really lucky because when he hit this big city of Kinshasa, which is a huge city, there were like 1,000 registered bands playing the style that he liked.
Wow.
And the style was so big at the time. It's called soukous. And it was so big that it was like the national pride.
Nice.
So you couldn't really be legit unless you were registered. And there were 1,000 registered soukous bands.
Wow.
And so it was just impossible to, establish yourself. But here he was this little country bumpkin.
I know.
And this young, really super popular band. I call it a boy band because they were all young. Mm. And they were already really popular and on the radio and playing for big audiences. And they scooped Siama up.
Yeah.
And he said he wasn't ready and he didn't know what to do. And they said, we'll show you and just get on the stage and we'll show you how it works.
They just liked me. And I was lucky because my uncle was living in a good neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah, it is kind of not expensive neighborhood, but just
nice.
A lot of artists, yes. So then people, I was hearing in the radio at the time, they're just like, you go one block, that the house of one. You go another block, the house of one. I'm like, what?
These famous this people in his neighborhood. And so one of them heard Siama playing and was like, I'm going to introduce you to this band, Kvacha.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so we got in.
Yeah. Wow. So, and you traveled the world and you played with some very popular bands. You had some hits. So do you feel like, you know, you said you wanted to be a star. Did you feel like you did it?
I think I did it. I wish it could be more, but what I got is just so nice. Because after that, we got this. We have to travel to Uganda. And then it was for 1 year, but the contract didn't end. We just moved to Kenya. So I keep going, you know, and I lived in Kenya like a home base. And then later we had a contract, went to Japan. So it was so nice. Just like, this is good life. And not by myself. So I still have a friend. So we were long ago in Kinshasa. Then we keep moving.
A lot of musicians during that era moved eastward when the politics in DR Congo got crazy. They moved eastward, so they brought their soukous with them to East Africa, and then it became the most ubiquitous music in East Africa, and that's what everybody wanted to hear on the dance floors. And so, and them coming from the land where its origin, the people really loved them and respected them a lot.
And Dallas, so the two of you both came to Minnesota in 1995 from different places, I think, right?
Yes.
And you had no idea about his background. I thought that was the really, really entertaining part.
So at first we were in an international dance band together, but he didn't know English yet. We each had our own lives. Several years later, I needed a song translated, and so he kindly came over. I got his number from somebody, and he came by, and we ended up being buddies for quite a while and just kept becoming closer friends, and we were just inseparable and enjoyed each other's company so much. Something to know is that when he moved here to America in the 90s, he realized there wasn't anybody here who played soukous in Minnesota. And so here it was his entire life, and it's the only thing he had ever done, and there was nobody to play with. So he started playing folk, bluegrass, country, reggae, soca, calypso, just to keep playing. He had never been a front man, so he had never really sung. And so he was playing guitar with these, so it really pushed him into the background, right? And he just had accepted that his life had changed and it would never, his glory days were done, you know? And he's like, well, I'm glad I had him, right? And so when our friendship turned to love, I had a corporate job that I wasn't happy in, and he wasn't happy because he wasn't making money with music, and he wasn't really fulfilling his joy with music. And so we just were kind of struggling in a way. And in 2014, I applied for him to get a McKnight Fellowship, and he tried to persuade me not to do that because he said those aren't for people like him. And I had applied the year prior, and he didn't get it. And so I said, I think I just need to research you more and build out your story. And so I started Googling him, and that was when I realized what he had done in his life. Because he didn't have a resume or anything.
In all that time, you hadn't realized.
He doesn't talk about himself. He's so humble. But sometimes, like now and then, there would be somebody from East Africa who would meet him and burst into tears. And say, you wrote my mother's favorite song or my favorite song, or I remember back in the Starlight Club. And I was like, who are you exactly? And there's something in there, and I'm going to find your story. So I found a couple of audio files online. One of them is from Scotland, a white guy who just happens to specialize in Congolese musicians who lived in Kenya in the 70s and 80s. I was like, whoa, that's specific.
That's very specific.
So thanks to him, I was able to build out a good story, and Siama got the fellowship. And from there, that gave him a newfound confidence. It put him in a different place where he said, oh, I do have a place in this world. And people appreciate what I did 20 years ago. And maybe, maybe I have something more to say. And until then, when he was growing up, he always thought traditional music was old people music. And so he never wanted to play traditional Congolese music or a Congolese rumba because he felt like that was from before. It was old and tired. But after he got the McKnight and he decided to play acoustic guitar and do kind of a concert format instead of a dance band, and he blossomed. And he started writing music that's inspired by his home and in Kikongo, which he had never sung in. And it really, you started a new chapter, didn't you?
Yeah, you did, yes.
And the people love it.
Yeah, people love it, even myself. I'm like, oh, actually, I love this old music. I used to call old, now I'm old guy, so it's my music.
I think that's a very universal experience where when we're growing up, we think of, you know, what our parents listen to or enjoy as, And then when we get older, we get nostalgic about it, or it means something to us.
Yes.
So it sounds like what you're kind of have gone through.
It's the classics.
Yeah.
And he can also, the more he travels, and by learning all those other genres, you started realizing that that traditional music from your home really influenced so much. It influenced the origin of jazz in New Orleans and in the South, the blues, and there's so many Congolese people were in America for the last couple hundred years and were really influential in creating American music of, you know, every permutation. And so he started realizing the influence his own, the old people music had.
Well, let's hear another song and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What would you like to do next?
Okay, I'm going to play this instrument called mbira. When I was growing up, my dad, I came from a family of 9 kids. At the time, my dad had one of this town piano. So we have to kind of fight for it. So my mom had a rule. Any kid who is good for the day, like you did something interesting, helping, of course, helping, like clean dishes, stuff like that, then you own it that day.
Nice. Yeah.
Smart woman, right?
Yes.
Like the best kid of the day.
Absolutely.
The one who does the most of mom's work in the day.
Nice.
So I'm going to play one number of that.
bende, yeah. Una vada bende, mama ye. Una vada bende,
That is Siama Matuzungidi live from Studio A, along with Dallas Matuzungidi Johnson. So you've put out a few albums, and one that you put out a few years ago was called Rivers. And the video that I watched, you were on Twin Ports. Not Twin Ports. It's a public television program down in the Twin Cities.
Yes,
that
TPT.
TPT that I'm blanking on the name on right now, but you had this band with
yes.
you, and I think some of those people are from various parts of the world. So
yes.
you were playing your style of music, but also bringing in an Indian player, somebody from Tibet.
Yes.
What a wonderful combination that was.
Yes, because I wanted to see how music connects, how the music around the world can connect and what can it bring. So people brought their
knowledge
to that, and they just added to African music. It sounded like a very international market. Wow.
Yes.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, we were talking when Siama was going to name the album, we were talking about how most places in the world people live near a river, and we live near the Mississippi River, so we wanted to call it Rivers from the Congo to the Mississippi, because we invited musicians from all over the world, so they were bringing like their river to the Mississippi River.
Do you still play with some of those people? I know the album was a few years ago, so.
Yeah, like Tim O'Keefe will be playing tonight. He's in there, and then sometimes we do, it depends what is the cause of the music. We'll be like, we need the 5-piece, so let's take the same musician we had in that. Yes.
Sometimes we have an electric format where you have more musicians, and then other times we have an acoustic format, like tonight we'll have 3 of us, and that's really rootsy, and it can be really African. It sounds really cool. And then we also do a lot of teaching with kids. And so for the teaching, we either do it as a duo or a trio. We do a lot of elementary schools and libraries. In fact, we're going to be at the main Duluth Library this summer.
Oh, great.
We have 2 concerts in that outdoor stage.
Oh, fun.
For the kids' series. And then in September, we're going to be also in the Duluth Library and some other ones in the area.
Nice. Well, and that brings up your most recent album, which is called The Land of Yangalele. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
And Yangalele in Kikongo means happiness.
Happiness.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell me how you started working with kids and how this album came about.
Want to tell about Q?
Yes. So he was just busking downtown. Kind of like busking, isn't it?
Yeah, just 2 of us.
Downtown. And then me and Dallas. And then this lady came with her little girl. She was like 2 years old. She just jumped from her mom's hand and came and stand up with us, facing the people passing. She took shake and she's like, ch-ch-ch. I'm like, wait.
She started singing and dancing.
Yeah. So then the mother was like, after that, she was like, you guys do kid stuff? Then Dara said, we can. So we was doing that. Yes, we can. That. And then she invited us at the global market to do a kids program.
Yeah, we started doing that once a month, and so then those little ones taught us everything we know. So now we do programs with several different entities, including Classical NPR.
Wow.
They have a program to get us into elementary schools, which is just
And it all started with one little girl.
Little girl. in a little lamb hat and just totally and spontaneous.
Well, I think that, you know, that your music is so rhythmic, and I think children are really drawn to anything that has that rhythm, and especially if there are you have some fun shakers and things over there, Dallas, that you're playing. They're bright and they're colorful and they make a lot of, you know, fun noises.
Yes.
So I can totally see that. Well, that's great. And I forget, what do you call it when you, the assortment of instruments for the kids, you have a name for it.
The instrument petting zoo.
Yes. What a lovely concept. Yeah.
And in the land of Yangalele, we created that one with an MRAT grant. And most of the songs are in English, so that was a new challenge for Siama. And but it's in the style of Congolese rumba, so it has this really lilting, happy sound, and the parts just repeat, and it's really it's comfortable and sweet and happy. And we were really excited that we just recorded it really humbly in Siama's very small home studio, but it won a Parents' Choice Award.
So
we were thrilled for that. We felt like the little kids from the country got the big prize.
So Dallas, let's talk about your musical background a little bit. You told me off the air that you're originally from North Dakota, but you were in New York before moving to Minnesota. What's your musical background?
Well, I started singing for people when I was just a little kid, like maybe five, and I loved it. I was in a rock band in high school. And then I did folk music in college while I was studying classical vocal performance. So I sing in a lot of different Latin languages. And then started singing like Caribbean music and Central American protest music in my early 20s. I moved out to New York and lived there about 8 years, where I sang different styles again. And started studying jazz. And I came back here to Minneapolis and was doing like early 70s jazz funk and like trip hop, which was a cool jazzy hip hop kind of style. I have a couple albums of my own, Dallas Johnson, on iTunes and Amazon and all that. But it was just so natural when I started working with Siama, because he speaks Lingala, Kikongo, Swahili, French, and English, and all the languages he sings in have enunciations like Latin languages. So it was easy to fall right in. And when we started, I started managing him at first, and when he started his solo career a couple of years ago, and people were really responding and telling him, like, this isn't just music, this is healing, this is medicine. And I was like, I want some of that. So I asked him to teach me, and so he started teaching me. And once I started singing it, I just can't explain. It changed me. It was so healing. It made everything that wasn't real and wasn't generative fall to the side, including my job. I was like, I don't want to do anything except be happy and calm and at peace. And being with Siama is just a joy every day. And it was really liberating. I can't say enough about it. It's the joy of my life.
Nice. That's very lovely. Well, we have time for one more song. What would you like to wrap up with here?
I think we're going to do Malembe.
Oh.
Yes, Malembe.
So Malembe, this one is in the style we talked about. This is in Sukus, the dance music that was big when Siama was coming up. When he had an afro and bell bottoms.
I love the pictures of you from you. You look like a rock star. You know, what we would, you know.
Yeah, people used to call me Styler.
Styler?
Oh, that's cute.
Styler.
Nice.
I will buy a pant, and then I will go to the tailor. Can you tie it up this place?
Oh, down to the knees.
Yeah.
And then at that time, when he first came from the country, he had really short, like, conservative hair. And so he got an afro wig. So he wore a wig.
And he had to wear leave it every day. So people thought that was my hair, too. I go to the hair salon and then... can you give me a haircut? But he's a wig.
So silly. So, you know what that, who brought that style was when James Brown did Rumble in the Jungle.
Yes.
You know, the big Muhammad Ali, George mm-hmm. Foreman mm-hmm. fight, and James Brown came and performed. And Congo. Overnight, mm. culture in Congo changed.
Interesting.
Everybody yeah. needed afros and bell-bottom mm-hmm. pants, and like it was all about wow. showbiz after yeah. that. They wanted to dance and... Yeah. But anyway, this song is in Lingala, and it's called Malembe, and that means step by step. So this is a song about, like, just be happy in the moment with what you have, and don't try to live in the future and think about everything you want that you don't have. Just be happy with what you have and just mm-hmm. take your time. Mm-hmm.
That is Siama Matuzungidi and Dallas Matuzungidi Johnson live from Studio A. What a fun song. So you said that was a Sukus tune, and is it still a popular style of music?
Yes,
back in the Congo and other areas.
There's like a newer style of it, you know, new permutation. But the old school Sukus, people still think of it like, you know, like Stevie Wonder songs or like Marvin Gaye. It's like the favorites, you know what I mean? When you hear them, everybody jumps up.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. We are happy to be here.
Very much a pleasure.
We were so happy that you invited us, and you did such a good job of learning your stuff. And
it's always fun to learn new things about a new artist. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.